Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 7 o'clock here on the morning shift. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. Thanks for waking up with us. Thanks for putting us in the car on the ride into work, whatever else you got going on. Yeah, play that air guitar, man. I love it.
Hey, man. So I think of two things when I hear that. I think, hey, Chipper, now coming to the plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Chipper Jones. Yeah, and then also, I also think of the second dish, who did the song? Little John and somebody else.
I don't know, man. I'm from Pensacola. I guess I wouldn't know anything about rap.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
I mean? Yeah,
you
since
wouldn't.
The guy from Dallas, Georgia thinks he knows more about, you know, rap than me. It's more, yeah.
I do. I think it's clear.
I think you just know more about music in general. I'll give you that.
Like, I
wasn't a big music guy growing up.
Did you just head in a sandbox all
no,
the time growing up?
No, I just played sports. I went outside.
You didn't know anything you don't know anything about movies. You don't know anything about music.
I would just sit outside and throw tennis balls off the wall, hand-eye coordination, lateral movement. Dude,
that's what you did? So you were just out there doing pass blocking drills the whole time?
Well, no, I planned on being a first baseman, not an offensive lineman. But, you know, look, I tell people all the time, the best offensive line practice, taking ground balls, man, shuffling.
Well,
weight over the inside of your knees.
It's okay to admit that I'm just more well-rounded and more worldly than you are.
If that's what you want to tell yourself,
I've traveled the world more.
You go for it.
I mean,
is that what it is?
I'm more well-rounded.
Cancun. Hey, man, speaking of traveling the world, and we're going to get to the Falcons game in just a minute. I was hitting some reels yesterday. I thought about Tiffany. And this reel pops up. It's kind of gone viral. It's a girl saying she dropped Bumble. And she was going to start going to get coffee in the evening and heading over to Home Depot. And that was going to be her game plan moving forward for how to meet guys. And, like, she records this Instagram reel or TikTok or whatever it is, and she walks in with coffee, and she sees this dude, and she's just straight up like, I don't really have anything I need to buy. I'm just going to ask him if he – and she walks up, and she's like, hey, I need to hang a picture. Can you help me hang a picture? And, like, she just straight up meets this guy. And then by the time they leave, they exchange phone numbers. And I was like, I'm so far removed from the singles game, but I would actually co-sign on this. Like, that's Home Depot would be such an underrated place. If you were a female, it'd be such an underrated place at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon to go meet dude. It'd be better than Publix. We had the Publix conversation on here a number of times. It was like, you know what? I'm going to drop this on Tiff. I'm going to be like, hey, man, you ever go to Home Depot? Because she's always kicking the tires on things like this. I think it's a good idea, man. Went viral. I was like, yeah, good for this chick. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
I think every time I go to Home Depot, it's dead. There's, like, nobody in there.
Well, I was going to say, I go at, like, 10 a.m. So.
And I think that's why.
That's where most of the service workers are.
That's when I go in there, it's just, like, there's, like, a couple people working there. Yeah. And a couple, like you said.
A stock and show.
There's, like, yeah. And there's
a forklift
there's
all
like,
the place.
There's, like, a plumber walking through getting, like.
there's eight aisles closed off with the chains so the forklift can move through. Like, come on, man. I got to get in that aisle.
Do you ever get freaked out when they have those, and they have them at Sam's too, but they're like the robot machines. They have those duster things that clean the floor, and they're on auto.
Yeah, the Home Depot I go to, it's just a guy driving it. He's just walking behind it. Yeah, but they do it almost at 10 o'clock every time I go. So yeah, I don't ever get freaked out. But I understand why some people would if it was a robot for sure. I'm not big on robots just yet. I haven't grown accustomed to that.
Well, it's not a robot. They just have it on auto, like,
autopilot,
and it's
like a Roomba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a giant ass Roomba that can run you over. I don't like them. I don't like the giant Roomba things that can run you over. They kind of freak me out.
All right, speaking of guys that can run you over, we went over the Falcons injury report a minute ago, and yesterday the did not participate included cornerback D. Alford, cornerback Mike Hughes, and cornerback Antonio Hamilton. I mentioned it's a homecoming for one Falcons player, and I'm talking about safety Justin Simmons. I know that he is beloved out in Denver. I'm sure that, you know, he will get, I'm assuming, what would be a good, ovation when he takes the field or when he makes a tackle or whatever else. But I think these safeties play a more important part than we even realized coming to this game because of how thin you now are at corner, where you're probably either way going to get a healthy dose of Clark Phillips, and you move on down the depth chart at other guys that are going to have to step up in those situations. I'm thinking, you know, the Kevin Kings of the world.
Yeah, I think Kevin King's a big one, actually.
I think he'll be a big part of this, and, you just keep going on from there. I don't know how you attack this because it's not like you want Justin Simmons matched up one-on-one with wide receivers, and that's not what you're going to do. You're going to have corners in there. But I think it's just in terms of communications. And we haven't honestly said Justin Simmons' name a ton this year. I know he's had some injury stuff. He's been in and out with Richie Grant a couple of times. But I think this might be the most important game for him. He's familiar with this team. He's familiar, obviously, with that organization. communication on the back end will be key, and you want to keep Bo Nix under wraps. And I think he actually matches up well in open space, you know, given what Sean Payton might try to do. So I think when you say the name Justin Simmons this weekend, that's one of those players I'll be watching on Sunday.
Well, you got to kind of think, too, are they going to try to run the ball, because they know that this is a run defense that's been ran on.
I would assume so.
When I mean run the ball, I don't even mean Bo Nix. I mean Aldrick Estime, and you got Javonte Williams, the guy that I thought would be a lot better in the NFL.
He struggles this year, man.
Yeah, and then they also have Jaleel McLaughlin. So I would think that maybe you play him. You always have to remember when you're talking about this defense. I'm going to do my Brian Kelly where I'm. Yeah. Here we are again. But they play everything in front of them. That's the whole goal of this defense, is to play everything in front of them.
Yeah.
So nothing gets behind them, and then
we're sitting here again.
We're sitting here again talking about being last in the league in sacks. But they play everything in front of them, so I would like to see Justin play down in the box a little bit more if you think they're going to try to run with you. And also it would help you with Bo Nix. But when you talk about the coverage part for me, it's one of those situations where it's just like when Kirk Cousins gets sacked. Oh, see? There's Matthews again. There's Caleb McGarry again. And it's like that guy does his job for 39 times a game. And on the 40th drop back, he gets beat and you're up in arms, right? Yeah. And it's the same, but I feel like I've seen it one too many times this year with Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates and then a cornerback. And it could be AJ or it could be Mike Hughes. And the three of them are looking at each other and they're discussing what went wrong because it was a miscommunication.
Yeah.
That against a team like this, against a team that's only averaging just a shade under 20 points a game, I can't have those miscommunications that allow them to go above their average, considering that their defense is only giving up, I think, 17 a game.
Yeah, it's something where I'm not worried about coverage as much as I am ability to tackle one-on-one. It's been one of the things that Mike Hughes and all these other guys have been known for this year. That's why you don't give up explosives. That's how your defense is going to attack Denver. Well, how is the offense going to attack Denver? Dave Archer sat down with Kirk Cousins. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Now time to catch up with our quarterback here on Countdown to Kickoff, Kirk Cousins. And Kirk, it's kind of interesting, and I got to thinking about the schedule. I mean, obviously that they play 10 opponents that we're going to play, their divisional opponents, and then of course they're playing our division, we're playing their division. But I don't know that I looked at 10 games, they've got five common opponents. How much does that help you? Does that help you prepare?
Well, it's interesting, yeah. You have a little bit of familiarity of, okay, you know, we know that team, or we know what they would do. But you focus so much on the Denver defense, and the reality is that that's not only a new opponent this year, but it's really a new opponent because I didn't play them last year. They're in the AFC. It's been a few years since the Falcons have played them. So, it's a little bit of a newer opponent when you play an AFC team. So, it's a good challenge for us. Have played Coach Joseph, the D coordinator, many times in this league, and he does a great job, and he's evolved. And so statistically, they're very highly ranked, and playing at their place, there's a lot of reasons to say we got to be at our absolute best to get this done.
Yeah, they look really good defensively. Certainly some of the categories and statistics would reflect that. When you look at them defensively, is there a style that kind of immediately jumps out at you as the way they want to play with?
Well, I think they rush hard. I think they play strong match coverage. I think their coverage is tight, and I just think they do a nice job executing, and they don't beat themselves, and they're going to make you earn it. They're going to prevent explosives the best they can, and that makes it all hard. And so for all those reasons, we're going to have to be detailed and just very precise in our execution.
I know how detailed you are. At least I've begun to learn how detailed you are and what you do and your approach. When you look at what you do each and every week, are there things that you pick out each week, or are there things that are common each week that you're working on?
Yeah, I think a little bit of it is every Sunday coming away from the game saying, hey, what what did I do well? What can we build on? What wasn't good enough? Win or loss, you know, what wasn't good enough? What are some fundamentals I can draw? I came away from the Sunday game against the Saints feeling like I can manipulate coverage a little better with my eyes, with my feet, try to move defenders a little more in zone coverage. And there's a balance there of holding on the ball too long, but just seeing that, hey, there's some opportunities there to maybe try to open up some windows. So that's something you work on. You try to transfer to the practice field and then take it to the game.
It's been fun to watch you meld minds with Zach and the way things have come together for you guys here in the first 10 weeks. How much do you, with a defense like this, it looks like they're pretty good statistically in a lot of categories. How much do you have to kind of mess with their minds a little bit in play calling and maybe change up what you guys do some?
It's a great question, Arch. You kind of always ask that as well of how much do we need to change? How much can we go back to the drawing board? How much do we, you know, have our identity, and you lean on your identity in tough times. And so it's always a balance as a team, as a coach, to say, you know, who are we? Let's lean on that. But then at the same time, let's throw a wrinkle. Let's try to innovate. Let's try to be creative and keep a defense guessing. So finding that balance is always tough for a coach and for players. But we're certainly in that part of the season now where people have a lot of tape on you and you're trying to, you know, now build on that and add wrinkles.
Things change in ebb and flow in a game. Is there a key for you early on that you'd like to see get started without giving some game plan stuff away?
You know, I think always starting fast is important, which many times comes down to converting third downs. I think, you know, protecting the football always gives us a chance. You're going to stay in every game if you're protecting the football. And I think that was a big reason why we were close in the Saints game all game long was, you know, we didn't turn it over until that second to last drive. So I don't think you have to reinvent anything. I think you just understand the fundamentals that have always made good football teams win is the same fundamentals today. It's take care of the football. It's be great on third down. Try to control the line of scrimmage, be efficient, time of possession, all those things. And then when we get in the red zone, you know, don't kick field goals, score touchdowns. And so that'll be important.
There you go. Let's go get a win.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
Don't kick field goals, score touchdowns. Yeah, write that down in your game notes for this weekend. I think that'll be something a lot of Falcons fans focusing on, man, as we move into that matchup. 405 reminder that it'll be right here on 99 The Game. Squid will be up in the booth with Wes and Dave. Chopping it up, we'll have Dave Archer coming up here at 8:20 to talk about this matchup. Also a reminder, we'll have Dax McCarty at 8:40 from Atlanta United to talk about their impending matchup in the second round of the MLS playoffs. We'll have picks coming up at 8 o'clock. We got a lot of good stuff to get to, man. Coming up next, we'll get to NFL headlines. Saquon and those Eagles moved to 8-2 last night. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. Stick with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We're going to go in the huddle in just a second, talk about the big victory for the Eagles last night, the questionable call by Dan Quinn on the fourth down. We'll hear from Dan Quinn coming up in just a second on what his thought process was. Before we get there, I got two questions for you.
Well, I got two answers, maybe.
Is this comeback player of the year, Chris Sale, that he wins last night, is that his only postseason award that he's going to win?
If it is, we should riot.
We should riot.
Second peacefully, of all, peacefully.
It was announced last night at the All MLB Awards Show, hosted by Roy Woods Jr., which I thought was a good pick. Are you in on the postseason awards show for Major League Baseball or the NFL or really anybody at this point? I know NASCAR does one, a couple of other leagues.
I don't watch award shows at all.
I don't either.
I don't watch anything.
It's just not intriguing to me.
I don't watch anything where people dress up and sit at a table or in an audience and act, you know, and are all, you know, the snooty people. I don't do all that crap.
The NBA used to do one, but then they went away from it.
Who did?
The NBA used to do one, they went away from. Remember, they did them like towards when the playoffs first started in the season. Then they did the award show, and then the award show wasn't doing very well, so they went back to the way they used
just,
to do it.
I legitimately can say, even if I was invested in seeing one of these awards, I would rather turn on like Yellowstone last night.
Maybe if I ever got invited to one, I would go. But
you dress up. I've been to the ESPYs before,
but then I wouldn't watch it. Like I wouldn't go home and like watch the TV copy to see if I was on camera. I just think they're boring.
You know what was the weirdest thing about going to the ESPYs is the seat fillers. So I was sitting next to Jason Witten, and I got up.
How big is Jason Witten in person? He looked like a pretty big dude.
He's not quite as tall as me. He's big size guy. I'm trying to. I mean, he's probably Randy size. Yeah, him and Randy are about the same, about the same build. Okay. Yeah, him and Randy.
All right.
About the same, but which is not shocking. I think, look, when you talk about, you know, Pro Bowl tight ends, that's pretty close thing to look at. But when you get up and I go to the bathroom in the middle of the ESPYs and you come back and I'm like, where's my seat, dude? Like, what? Like, I'm like, God, like, I'm like, and my date who was there with me, I like text her. I'm like, where are you? I cannot find you right now. And I'm like, I'm looking for an empty seat. No, dude, they don't let empty seats fly. Like, it's seat fillers. You got to be like, hey, man, get out of my seat.
But you got,
I had to have my date put her hand up so I could see where I was sitting.
You should have done like, you're in my seat. Get out of my, like be all intimidating, trying to be intimidating to the guy. I mean, I wouldn't, but you could. I mean.
You know what was funny? They were about to do, the award we were up for was 2009 Team of the Year. We were up against the Saints. They ended up winning, unfortunately. But before, like when you're coming back from commercial break,
for me.
When they come back from commercial break, they, you know, one of the things they do is they put a camera on, you know, the people that are coming up soon. And so the camera comes to my aisle, and I was sitting next to like Mark Ingram and some of the other, you know, teammates I had that year. And Jason Witt looks at me and he goes, is that camera, are they pointing that at you? I was like, dude, I don't know. I'm sitting next to you. I don't think that's pointing at me. I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. But
you should have said, be cool, man. Yeah. That cool.
Just keep looking ahead. Like my eyes were so big on the camera, I just looked towards the stage. I'm like, don't look at the camera.
I remember
just keep clapping.
Like,
happy to be here. Happy.
Did you clap?
Yeah, because everybody's clapping on the way back in.
Nah, man, you got to play it cool.
Anyway, let's go in the huddle. Well, these Eagles who moved to 8-2, and one of those two is your Atlanta Falcons, but they moved to 8-2 last night. They knock off the Commanders. It was a
1-6 straight
defensive slugfest last night throughout most of the game. Saquon goes for 146, two fourth quarter touchdowns. Eagles ended up stretching their lead, although we'll come back to the two-point conversion in just a second. I want to hear from Dan Quinn because yesterday in this game, all right, the Eagles are leading 12-10 in the fourth quarter. 12-10, right? 2 points. You're down by 2 points. Washington in range, I want to say the 28-yard line, something along those lines. Dan Quinn goes for it on 3rd and 3, obviously, gets stuffed, comes back on 4th and 2, and he's like, going for it again. I don't understand it. Dan Quinn, explain it to me.
Obviously, to go for it and 4th down and 2 at the 26, bold call, but I would also say we were prepared for that moment. I don't love the execution, but we've been an excellent 4th down team. So going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some 4th downs. But that's one we can fix.
Dan Quinn, I got one word for you. No.
Well, look, no. Hold on. I got to defend my guy. You can sit here and complain now because the snap was botched. But if it's this one, it is.
That's part of football.
It's one of those deals where if they make it, if he doesn't botch that snap, because it literally that tick of time to secure it.
Mess up the play fake or the read or whatever.
Yeah, so. No, it's easy to sit here, but and the execution was it. But I mean, they make it; they might win this game, and everybody's saying, "Man, can you believe the Kahunas?"
If you kick the field goal, you might win the game. You want to talk about sitting here and second guessing? It's a field goal to go to the lead.
How about you don't give up 20 freaking points in the fourth quarter?
How about you take the lead when you can?
I mean,
you already have seen their kicker miss three field goals.
They scored 26 points, dude. You scored 18. That 3 points.
When did all those points come? Those last 14 points you're talking about came after the momentum swung to Philadelphia because you missed the 4th down conversion when you could have taken the lead in the game.
There's
nothing you're going to say that lets me think they shouldn't have done that.
I would have kicked the field goal. But what if they miss the field goal?
Thank you.
What if the field goal misses? We saw a lot of missed field goals last night. Hell, we saw missed field goals in our game the other night.
They're all over the place. They're all over the place.
I mean, kicking game in the NFL right now is...
It's bad.
I mean, I think even Justin Tucker's having an off year. You think they shrunk the field goal post? We didn't know it?
I know that DQ is your guy, and I respect that, and I like DQ, man. Look, DQ is the guy that gave me a phone call, hey, the Falcons are going to go in a different direction. I'm like, yeah, I'm not shocked by that, DQ. Thank you for letting me know.
See, you didn't have to do that. I would text you.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have been like. Actually, I didn't talk to him as a voicemail. So it was the same thing.
Well, that's because you wouldn't answer his call.
I didn't know his phone number. I was like, who is this calling me from this phone number?
You didn't try to call him back?
It was a 770. It was like his office phone.
You didn't try to call him back?
I did, but it wasn't until like a week later when I realized my voicemail box had been full. I think I still have that voicemail anyways.
Can we play it on the air?
I gotta go look for it.
Can we play it on the air?
If I can find it, we definitely can. Hey, Mike, this is Dan Quinn. I just want to let you know. Look, man, we appreciate everything you've done here since you came in. And right now, it looks like we're going to move in a different direction. All right, cool, DQ. I'm not shocked by any of this news. I was already looking in a different direction, too, baby.
He didn't talk about your execution or anything?
Like at the end of February.
We didn't like your execution.
No, and I was like, hey, man, make sure you don't go for it on fourth and two against Philly.
All right, you know what? Move on.
Well,
get over
well,
it.
Well, you're the one that keeps bringing it up.
You're clearly upset about something that happened in 2015.
Let's talk a little bit about this Chiefs-Bills game this weekend. I think that's the biggest showdown in the NFL. 8-2 Bills at home. They'll be favored by two. Favored by two against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that people are looking, it's the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are actually playing a much better brand of football now than they probably were when they were, you know, say 6-7-0. I think they're, you know, I think you look at them and go, man, they're playing good. Although they almost lost to who? Denver last week. So that's another thing to talk about.
Hold on a second. The Chiefs have almost lost a lot of games.
I know, that's
because
my point.
This
that's
is
point.
The NFL.
Yeah.
And this isn't college. So when you're writing for your little fan blog, realize that you're not going to blow everybody out. They're close games.
Yeah.
Bad teams
come
can beat
kickers.
Good teams in the NFL, because the difference in bad teams and good teams in the NFL is a couple of coaching decisions and maybe some injuries.
Very small.
Thank you.
And I think it is going to be a slugfest between the Broncos and the Falcons. Where are you at on Chiefs and Bills?
I don't know. I was just looking at this game. We got to pick it later.
Oh, is this on the list for us to pick at 8
o'clock? It's on the list.
Sure.
Although, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm boycotting your college pick.
Well, it'd be Georgia and Tennessee, right?
Wow. No, it's Missouri at South Carolina, and it's
Come on, Dylan. Is
a sucker pick.
You put Georgia and you didn't put Georgia and Tennessee on the picks of the week.
I thought we didn't want to do Georgia picks if we didn't have to.
No, we didn't want to do it every week.
We don't want to do Alabama.
We want to do big games.
Well, we can change it. I'm flexible. Well, I'm a nice guy.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes. So we're going to have to do it 8 o'clock.
Real quick, what's the biggest game in college football this weekend?
Georgia Tennessee.
Boom. Okay, what's the biggest game in the NFL, not Falcons wise?
Chiefs Bills.
Okay, so why wouldn't we pick if we're picking big games?
Radio 101, my friend.
That's true.
Look, anyways, we could have done all that off the air, but instead we just decided to do that, and I apologize.
Man, speaking of doing it all off the air, and speaking of Dylon having his input, it's Bo's worst nightmare. Fair Foul Friday is coming up on the other side.
I like Fair Foul.
And mic'd up.
When you're a part of it.
And Dylan will be hosting.
Well, he's not gonna allow someone to cheat and then beat me, because there's no winner in Fair Foul.
I'm just gonna tell you, if you have something in here about cannoli or some weird,
you're not asking dessert, a Hot Pocket question and a calzone question.
I know. I feel like we've talked you out of that. I'm just saying, if there's some other food related question where you disrespect something I love, I'm coming through the glass. I'm coming through the glass.
I actually like it when Dylan does Fair Foul. The questions are so much better.
I will Spartan kick the glass between me, you, and I will come in there if you say one more thing about a Hot Pocket.
Do you think he just went right? He just went, didn't even hear that?
Yeah, I didn't.
I think he mentally blocked it out.
Yeah.
I said, I like it when Dylan does Fair Foul. The questions are so much better.
Hey, man, that's coming up on the other side. Reminder, we got Dave Archer at 820, Dax McCarty at 840. Make sure you stick with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You got mic'd up coming up here in a second, man.
Sometimes things happen off the air, Mike, that we will never mention on
the
air.
You don't want to tell people that's awesome.
But sometimes when I take a shot and I know you can't take one back, it just makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah, you always love that when people can't punch back at you.
Hell yeah. I mean, why not? No, that's not true. I like
people,
a good counter fight.
I want to remind people, this hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. I'll be down at Buffalo's Cafe in Griffin, Georgia tomorrow from 5 to 7, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're down that way, come holler at me.
I would come if I wasn't
going to be in Denver?
I'll be on the flight.
Griffin's a little bit of a poke for me, but I'm excited to hang out, man.
I would also come, too, if I wasn't working. But
well, Dylan, where are you working at?
Yeah,
I'm doing PA for Emory that day. I got three games to do. Emory basketball.
That's a good way to cop
out. Are you going
to
be working the day after the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
What are you going to be working there?
Oh, the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
My bad. I thought you meant that Sunday. I was like, I'm going to be working Falcons.
Don't let him pull you into this.
But
you don't have to go with him.
I'll have an appearance you can come to.
I'm not sure if I'll be doing anything.
You'll be there. Yep.
Okay. Hey, without further ado, let's hit Mike up. Here it is. Don't be scared.
Fair Foul Friday.
Yeah.
A Freaky Falcons
attaboy.
Friday.
All right. Just stop. Just read
I like it.
Just read the questions.
Don't hate
Dylan.
On him.
Just read the questions.
Speaking of Freaky Falcons Friday, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons, shall we? You all talked about it before earlier in the show. It's a homecoming for Justin Simmons, and you guys talked about how this is probably going to be one of the most important, if not the most important game for Justin Simmons in a Falcons uniform. So with all that being said, Justin Simmons picks off Bo Nix Sunday. Fair or foul?
All right, I'll go first since you didn't tell which one to start. Fun Justin Simmons fact that I learned on Dukes and Bell when he was on there.
It's fair or foul.
He was roommates with Chris Lindstrom at Boston College.
Really?
When he was a senior and Chris was a freshman. They were, you can go back and listen to the interview, but they both were kind of the odd men's out for having a roommate because one's roommate left, the other, there was an odd number.
What
so they
cool
were roommates.
Story.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That is fun.
I didn't know that. He told more
that
about his relationship with Chris Lindstrom. Fair, baby. Because you know why? You know why it's fair? Because Justin Simmons has one interception this year. You know when it was?
When was that?
It's week three against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was something about that game. Because that's he's the guy that's intercepted more than anybody else.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
And so I think there's. I think what I'm getting to is that Justin Simmons, he kind of when he feels something
cerebral,
it happens.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to feel an interception this week. And I think it might be the one that finishes the game off.
I'm not going to say you are wrong, but just in terms of zigging when you zag, let me go and just say that I think A.J.'s going to be back in his bag this weekend, and I think maybe at interception number three for A.J. Terrell. He's been playing good football of late. I think that he's going to be, you know, sort of next man up in terms of corners because, obviously, you'll have guys all over the place that are playing out of position. I think they'll tinker this defense because they're so thin at corner. Maybe he drops back into that deep third. Maybe he steps in front of one. That's where
it's
I'm leaning.
Weird time to zig and when I zag, but okay.
It'd be you know, it's better than just saying, yeah, fair.
We'll get back to the Falcons here in just a minute, but we will stick with football. Let's, instead of talking about what's going to transpire on Sunday, let's talk about what's going to transpire on Saturday with the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens taking on those Tennessee Volunteers. We know what's on the line for Georgia. You two have done a great job. Everybody on the station has done a great job of talking about what's at stake for Georgia. It's an elimination game, point blank, period. With that being said, Kirby Smart, we know that a lot of times this Georgia football team doesn't lose back-to-back games. I think the last time they lost back-to-back games, I believe 2016 in Kirby's first
great
year.
Great point.
With all that being said, fair or foul, the Georgia Bulldogs play their most complete game this season.
Man, this one is tough.
I'll go first since you're all stumbling over there.
Okay.
Foul, I think their most complete game. I don't think – I think – you know what? Never mind. I think
– you were going to go Clemson.
Well, no, they haven't played a complete game. Uh-huh. I was going to go Texas, but then I realized
that's the closest one, but they ain't complete.
But then I remembered that Carson Beck threw three picks. They really didn't look great offensively in that game. They kind of stumbled into some of those points with the turnovers. I still think it's foul because I think they need Travis Etienne on the field to play a complete game, and I don't think they have him. Even if they win, I don't think it's a complete game.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's fair because I don't know. You said most complete game of the season doesn't mean it's going to be just incredibly complete, right? I mean, if it could still be the most complete game of the season and still not be great. I think they run the ball efficiently. We've mentioned a couple times, I think the Vegas line is stinky on this one. I don't know, you know, where Las Vegas is going on this. I think Georgia runs the ball just enough. I think Carson Beck is careful with the ball. And I think if Nico's back there playing, this defensive front's just good enough at Georgia to make him very uncomfortable. So I'll go fair. I think it's going to be a well-rounded win.
There you have it. I was watching a stream. I like to watch Twitch streamers. One of my favorite streamers, shout out to Queso. He was streaming, and he was reacting to, like, this would you rather, basically.
Hold on. Did you just shout out a guy named that calls himself Queso?
Start with a Q? Like, no, Queso, like the cheese?
No, it literally spells it C-A-S-E-O-H.
Okay.
Queso.
Queso. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So,
keep going.
Anywho.
Queso.
He was... He was doing like a little would you rather, react to like a would you rather on TikTok, and it was pancakes or waffles. So fair foul. I was thinking about it, and this is a tough one for me. And I don't know if we've had this conversation before or this argument before. So I'm gonna go this route. Pancakes, a peak pancake is fair foul. A peak pancake is better than a peak waffle. So a pancake at its best is better than a waffle at its best.
That's a great way to word that question. I'm going to say that's absolutely foul. Last night, we took my son to Waffle House. He gets chocolate chips on his waffle, and it has a smiley face made out of whipped cream. That's peak waffle. All right, so I'm going. Yeah. That's the peak of any of them. Now, you can go to IHOP all you want and get all that fruit and stuff. I don't mess with that. All right, you know what I mean?
IHOP got like a double chocolate chip pancake, too.
Well, they got all of them. They got all of them. I'm good, though, man. Give me the waffle. Give me the waffle. The peak waffle is better than the peak pancake. There's no doubt. I'll say foul.
I'm a fan of both, as you said, but I like my waffles these days with just peanut butter in between the two of them.
That's pretty good, too, yeah.
I like blueberry that. Waffles with peanut butter in between the two of them. But for this answer, because you said peak, and they don't call me Flapjack Squidbilly for nothing. Give
Nobody
me the pancakes, baby.
I was about to say,
Mike Bell does.
Who called you? Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's old Daytona 500 story all we right. did. But pancakes all day long, baby. Give me a good pancake.
I don't even want to know what y'all did in Daytona, dude. We got time for one more.
I've never seen anyone have a bigger fried chicken order at KFC than Mike Bell that day. We spent $70 at a KFC. Drive-through.
$70?
$70. Oh, man.
All right, let's end on the Falcons here because Raheem Morris has basically told us that we're going to see the debut of Brandon Dorlus, one of the rookies, defensive linemen we haven't seen quite yet. So, with that being said, we saw Ruka Rororo once he finally got in. You guys made the point of he had his hair on fire. He was ready for his opportunity that he finally got since he wasn't able to play right away. I'm wondering if we're going to get the same thing from Brandon Dorlus. So, here's the question. Fair or foul? Brandon Dorlus gets at least a tackle for loss on Sunday. He's going to be ready to go. He's going to be fired up. Brandon Dorlus, fair or foul, tackle for loss.
If you would have said
Sunday.
Sack, I'd have said foul.
I didn't want to go too far.
You can't go too far. I'm actually going to say it's still foul. I think if he was right, if I could say fair on that, he would have already been playing. I think he'll have serviceable minutes, maybe play a third of the snaps. I think you'll see him in there. I think he'll have fresh legs. A TFL, though, that's going to be tough to come by this weekend, man. I'm going to say foul on that one.
I'll go fair. We saw Rook do it in his first game. I think this is a team that doesn't run the ball very well. It makes me think that they're not very good up front at times in run blocking. I think there's a really good chance that maybe Grady or somebody or Onyemata creates a play where he's in with them, and he's the benefactor of that.
We need David Onyemata to start showing up in a bigger way.
I need to go back. We need to go back and watch, but I think Onyemata might be getting eaten some of those double teams, and maybe that's where some of his – because he actually,
I think that's just the easy thing to say when a D lineman's not showing up.
I thought he played
way.
Pretty well in the second half of last week's game.
Okay.
I think he was one of the reasons why Alvin Kamara had 7 carries for 5 yards in the second half.
I think he's been pretty good. I don't think he's been last year good. So
no,
that's kind of what I mean.
I think you're right there.
Nice job, Dylon. Way to step up to the plate. That's your mic'd up right there. Coming up on the other side of the break, you will hear us break down more in depth this Georgia and Tennessee matchup, what the X factors are against the spread. We'll also give our picks, our wild card picks of the week, and we got a Life of Squid.
Mike Tyson gives the best answer I've ever heard about legacy, but I don't think he remember. I don't think he realized who he was talking to when he gave
it. He's gonna die anyway. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game
and the Odyssey app.